Hello, young adults. Hello, listeners. Thank you for being with us again. It's a pleasure to be always with you. Thanks for your support. And as you know, I'm always with my girl, Cece. Hi, Cece. How are you doing?
Hi, sweetheart. I'm good. I'm feeling better, as you can see in my voice.
Okay. We thank God. And, you know, honestly, you know, our topic, like what we've been talking about since December 2021, mm-hmm. I'm really happy to talk about this because as young adults, we need to know, like, I mean, we don't have to rush if we don't know what career or what choices we want to make in the future. But I think it's important because unless I don't want to work only for money, like choosing a career just for money, I want to feel accomplished, fulfilled. Like maybe those words seem a little bit too deep in mm-hmm. sense, but I think it's important for young adults like us.
Yeah, it's definitely important because like coming from a background, like the African background, we didn't have the time to enjoy life. We were rushing to like, oh yeah, you have to finish with school, you have to finish with this.
Yeah.
Like we didn't took time to say, oh yeah, I'm gonna have pleasure with this, I'm gonna have pleasure with that. So if you go into the work life and you feel again that pressure, I think mm-hmm. that you're gonna go into a burnout. Like we definitely need to be like happy at working.
Yeah, like maybe it's not just about professional life, it's like a combination of all of it because mm-hmm. we're social beings. So but did I tell you about Professor Molly?
That's where we are about to go now. Let's talk about her.
I feel so blessed to have her in my life. She's bringing me so much wisdom. Anytime I talk with her, seriously, I'm blessed. And I hope she'll be able to enlighten some of our younger brothers and sisters today. It's not every day that we can have her free. So I hope we all enjoy her presence and her wise words.
I really enjoy it now. So let's start it. I want to listen to all her preaches right now. I definitely want to.
Oh, without waiting any longer, let's welcome Professor Molly.
Hello.
Hi, Molly.
Hi. How are you, my dear?
How are you doing? I'm good. I'm good. Thank you so much for being present today. Thank you a lot for your time. I know you need to rest, but it's really a pleasure. And thanks again.
You're welcome. It's so nice to be with you tonight.
Thank you. So we'll just allow you to present yourself, introduce yourself. You can give your name, resident, country of residence, what you're doing in life, and if you want your age, if you want your marital status, if you
all
want
the details. People are gonna be able to do identity fraud.
so you are free to say what you want and you're free to keep whatever you want.
Good. My name is Mwali. I'm so happy to be here tonight, and I'm 31 years old. I live in Ottawa, and I'm a registered nurse by profession. I'm working as a nurse in the emergency department. I'm working as a university professor as well. I'm born in Canada, born in Montreal, and my family is from Congo, so I'm proud of where I've come from. I'm proud of who I am today. I'm a woman who loves Jesus. I'm also a big sister. I am engaged. I'm getting married this coming summer, if the pandemic will allow it. So
oh,
that is good.
Funny.
Yeah, that's serving. Like uh-huh. That's a long resume. Thank you for the speech. I'm speechless right now. I'm gonna let Danny continue. Like I'm speechless.
Yeah, it's because of, you know, this network thing. I felt like she had a lot to say again. I was just like, I didn't want to to rush her. Like, just take your time, girl. But thanks a lot. So I'm really glad. And with all that background, will you say that you feel accomplished today, or you still have more steps to go to be able to say that, yes, I've done whatever I had to done? To make me happy, or maybe, you know, so.
I'll tell you this. I feel like living in North America is designed to make us feel unsatisfied. I can say that on paper, I have a number of accomplishments and I'm proud of them. They were a result and a fruit of hard work, many years of labor. And I could say that, okay, have I reached the goal? Have I accomplished everything that I meant to do? And I think that if I look forward in 5 years, in 10 years, in 30 years, will I ever be able to say, yes, it is finished? And the reality is that living in North America, it's never like that. There's always more that we want. There's always that little thing. Is being engaged enough? No, I need to be married. Is being married enough? No, I need to be a mother. I need to have more than one kid. I need to have X, Y, Z. Or in your career, I'm so happy that not only I work as a nurse, but also I'm able to have the best of both worlds. I'm able to have a clinical practice, but I'm also able to work from home for certain days of the week. And that's something that a lot of registered nurses don't have. But even with that, there are some days like, oh, I'm the newest professor. I'm the youngest professor. I'm one of the very few Black professors. Am I ever going to be enough? And some people say like, well, how much more do you need? It's like, oh, well, you know what? I need to get that next promotion. I need to get that next raise. I need to be able to get that next publication. There's always so much more in life. So am I content? Absolutely. I've worked so hard. If God calls me home tonight, I'm good to go. I'm happiest that I am. I'm like, you know, I've worked hard through a pandemic. If he tells me that it ends tonight, it's like, let's go, let's do this. I hope that he's happy with me. But like, you know, you can spend your whole life just chasing after all of these things. Will the world approve of me? Will my family be proud of me? Will I be good enough? Honestly, if you're not able to say from within, I've done my best, I'm satisfied, I'm confident that I've done enough, it's time for me to just be myself, to rest, then you can spend the whole life having the world tell you, yes, you need to do more magazine thing, I need to do more Instagram thing, I need to do more TikTok, Facebook, everything will consume you. It needs to come from within, and I definitely have peace that I'm good.
Okay.
Okay.
I have a question. Would you say being like doing what you're doing right now is your purpose, or you're looking forward into something different, or you're something different on the side?
Well, I'll say that what I'm doing right now, I never would have had dreamed that it would have had turned out like this. Mm-hmm. And so in knowing that I didn't know where I would be today, I can't say that this is the end. I know that it's not the beginning, but I enjoy the process that I've had so far. For myself, when I was younger, I went to school. I was living in Quebec. I did high school. Elementary school was brutal. My goodness. High school, I'm glad we're done with that. CJEP was definitely a moment where I was like, okay, being intelligent is not something that's gonna get you bullied. It's actually something that's gonna reap rewards. You're actually going to see the fruits of your labor. It was one of those moments where I feel like, you know what, I can be okay being myself. I could feel good in the skin that I was in. I was able to finally start to flourish. And even with that, I didn't know exactly where I would end up being. I was studying health sciences, and I was not sure while I was studying health sciences. Most of the answer as to why I was studying health sciences is because my parents told me that that was the only way I'd get a job. Never mind the arts, never mind the this, never mind the that. You have been genetically programmed to do something that will get you a job. Don't mess this up.
Oh my God, parents.
I know. Don't we? And so here I am in health sciences. Like, I'm not sure what I'm going to do, but like, I'll just do my best. So trying to get grades, not too sure what is going to yield. And in Quebec, they have the R scores, La Cote R. And I was looking at my R score. I wasn't too sure what kind of programs would open to me. And one of my professors told me, well, you seem to be doing well in this area of the sciences. Would something like nursing be interesting to you? I didn't know what it was. And I'll tell you this, I'm the oldest of four children. So my mom's been to the hospital just to have different children and things like that, my siblings, and her pregnancies were very healthy and well. So I had very little contact with nurses. I didn't really know what it was about. So I had to research, look at what it was actually entailing. And I figured, okay, like, I don't know the entirety of this profession, but I think that this is something that I can start with. So mm-hmm. I ended up doing the nursing program. My family moved to Sudbury, so I studied at Laurentian University. And when I studied the clinical placement, I just loved it. I found that it was fascinating to be able to have that close contact with patients, to be able to care for people, to be able to put to use my intelligence, my enjoyment for having contact with people, to be able to advocate for patients, to be able to look out for their best interests, to be able to work with them, to see what kind of goals they had, what they needed out of life, out of that interaction in the short term, in the long term. And as the years went by, I eventually had a chance to have a placement in the emergency department, and I was hooked. I was hooked. I was there for about 7 minutes, and I realized that's just what I want to do. I loved the adrenaline. I liked how fast our relationships were, how quickly we were able to do good, and also how there were a number of things that were going on at the same time. So you really had to be quick on your feet. You had to be able to see what's my critical priority at this time. How can I handle business for several people at the same time? And then be able to leave the workday knowing I've done a lot of good things. I've done well in my profession. I can go home. I can sleep. I can come back the next day if I'm scheduled the next day. But also as a shift worker, I have some flexibility too. So I can come back in a few days if that's the case too. So be it. So that's what my career started as. And then we took a few turns and here I am.
So how can you go as a nurse? Like, how far can you go? Like, Can you go where you want?
Well, let me start with this. I think it's different in every different province. So I'm going to talk to you about what it looks like in Ontario, knowing that it looks like different in Quebec. It looks different if you look out west. It looks different in different countries. Mm-hmm. And knowing that nurses do not just need to practice in one place. There are some nurses, like pandemic aside, that can work in the United States, that they work in Ontario. Some of our girls work. Some of our male nurses, everybody, there are some that are working in Quebec and Ontario at the same time. There's a lot of flexibility, but nurses can be registered practical nurses. They can be registered nurses. They can be nurse practitioners. So there are different expectations regarding years of education, and all of those are going to affect the things that you can do in your practice. It might limit in some respects, or it might allow you to do certain more advanced procedures or different skill set that will be useful in different work environments. So you can work in a number of places. Nurses can work in the hospitals, they can work in community centers, they can work in clinics, they can work in schools, in universities. There are nurses that travel from one location to the next, whether it's down south, whether it's in the United States, whether it's up north, contracts here and there, casual, full-time, part-time, you name it, it exists. Exists out there. And clearly I work as a professor as well. So the role there is so fascinating in that we get to be researchers. We do work in the university setting. We also get to be educators because we are taking care of raising, educating, and supporting the next generation of registered nurses. Some of them are straight out of college or high school. Some of them are doing a second career. There's a wealth and a breadth of what those nursing students look like. Some of them have done all of their education in Canada. Some of them worked as physicians or as nurses in other countries and are reinventing themselves in Canada. And we get to support them along their trajectory to be able to create their own path too, which may look similar to ours or may look vastly different. And so I'm very fortunate about the position that I have and very satisfied in the work that I do as well.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Like, do you have any other passion that you would like to explore one day? Oh,
professionally, personally, what are we talking about here?
I'll say personally. Personally? Yeah, because, yeah, I'll say personally.
Okay, so are you asking me, do I do anything other than study and work?
Not really. Like,
not really.
Not really. Like, I think it's just like, do you have anything that actually gets your attention? Because I can see that you actually love your job. You actually,
yeah. Like, you're really passionate love. About it. That's why
like,
I
do you have any other passion? Like,
I totally do. Why am I such a passionate woman?
I don't know.
I'm teasing. So there are a number of things I enjoy. I'll tell you this. For example, I know Danielle through a Bible study at our church. So I'm one of the small group leaders in our church, and I have the pleasure and privilege of leading a small group with one of my sisters, well, with one of my sisters indeed. And so in that group, we have young ladies anywhere between like the age of 18 to like the late 30s. Anyone's welcome. And we get to share our lives and to be able to talk about what kind of challenges or what kind of trajectories that we might be on with our faith walk with the Lord. And that's definitely something that I enjoy, because especially with this pandemic, it's very difficult to connect with people. Mm-hmm. We can see people from a superficial level, like their pictures, retweet this, etc., or like say hi when we see them at the grocery store or wherever. We can have practically a glass that's keeping us from actually seeing what's going on inside, what's happening with the personal stuff, the stuff that actually matters. Because once you start talking about your life, talking about what your journeys actually look like, your struggles, your desires, your hope, your dreams, your goals, then you have to let your guard down to be able to let people in. You have to be vulnerable with other people so that they want to be vulnerable with you and they can feel safe and comfortable to do that. And with the ladies that we have, they're so precious. They're all doing their best with regardless of what stage that they are at in their life. We encourage each other from one day to the next, and we see each other as much as we reasonably can given the pandemic. Something we've met online sometimes, we've met in person sometimes. We try to do it every 2 weeks. That way the relationships are able to stay alive and the conversations are able to stay current. We pray for each other. We encourage each other. It's been a huge blessing, and it's a passion of mine too, because it's very easy to just be an island and say like, okay, God's brought me this far. We've been good. I don't need to look out for anybody else. But in reality, it's important to be able to get encouragement, advice, and support from the people who are a few steps ahead of you, but also to remember to turn around in the other direction and see, is there anyone else that I can love on, support, or encourage that might be around me? And the thing that'll surprise you too is you never know which one's going to be which. Sometimes it's someone who's younger than you who has incredible words of encouragement for you, or sometimes it's someone who's older than you, and all of a sudden you're able to be there for them at the right time just by coincidence, never, but definitely by the grace of God. So that's a huge passion of mine. In terms of other things, I enjoy spending time with my family. My siblings mean the world to me. So I have one brother, I have two sisters. They are so precious. I'm proud of them all. When I'm not spending time with my siblings or with my siblings in life, I can say they're also great. I also enjoy going to the gym. I like to go to the gym 4 days a week. I say like with quotes as well, because sometimes I feel like I'm gonna die when I wake up and leave the house, but it's good for my health, and it's a routine that's been able to keep me healthy and well for all of these years. A passion of mine that's been left a little bit to the wayside, especially because I did a lot of school and I was quite busy with work and being a nurse during the pandemic and being a new professor during the pandemic is also photography. I love taking photos, be it of events or people or places. So those are a few little passions that I have. I hope that it gives you an idea of the type of person that I am.
Actually having a really active life.
I'm trying. One thing I didn't mention is I like to volunteer too.
I need
to tell you this though, my precious people. I like to volunteer as a camp nurse. I didn't bring it up at first because I was like, oh, that's something that I do as a nurse, but I'll tell you this, it's amazing. So during the summer, pandemic aside, this pandemic is killing us, but I work now I volunteer as a director at a camp in Northern Ontario, where we are able to oversee young girls ages 8 to 12 years old for a week. And we are able to introduce them to the camping experience. What's it like to go hiking, go canoeing, go kayaking, enjoying some time away from their parents, away from technologies. And it's just such a blast. I love those kiddos so much. They're adorable. A lot of them start off as our junior girls campers, and then a few years later they come back as volunteers. They learn to serve the girls that are younger than them, to work with the people who are older than them, and to learn with them. They're also adorable too, because you know, young girls think that young teenagers are the coolest thing in the world. So it's really the best position that we can have. And I've been doing that. I started doing that in 2013. And like, I'll tell you, it's one of my great loves. It's so fun. So if ever you're looking for something to do during the summer, come camping, come volunteer at camp. It's the best. So just had to say it. Couldn't forget.
Yeah, it's really important, you know, and I really appreciate the fact that you not only need to work and studies. So, yeah, I'm really happy that you're proud of yourself, because a lot of young people have that problem. If maybe the parents are not satisfied, you will not feel totally like proud of yourself too.
We know that. The only thing that's helping you guys right now is that I'm 31 right now. If you had asked me this 5 years ago, 10 years ago, oh my goodness, it's a struggle, especially like growing up with nowadays we have this term African Caribbean Black, the ACB community, and there are so many realities that people don't necessarily acknowledge. If we tell ourselves that the issues of Black people, it's either in Africa or in the Caribbean or in the United States, but like there's some things, like we live in Canada, I live in Canada for one, and we still have struggles here too. Last week we were talking about like even the challenges, like people say like, okay, like there's violence, there's a crime that's happening against Black people and things like that. Like we can't say that that doesn't happen in Canada. Meanwhile, we're scared of the police, we're nervous about what's going to happen to our sons, our husbands, our boyfriends. These things don't just affect others, they affect us as well. And they affect our identity, they affect our overall health. And it's not just a problem that's happening with our men too, it's happening with our women as well. So even as a Black woman, you have to be hyper vigilant, or else you're going to end up being hyper sexualized, or you're going to find yourself in all kinds of situations that are very harmful and that can really play a number on our self-identity and our well-being. So I think it's so important to be cognizant of like the realities that we're faced with, because our life isn't perfect. And then going back to our parents, I say this from my own experience, because I realize everyone's experience is different. But they grew up in Africa, they grew up in Congo. So they were very well immersed in that
way of living in that reality. And then they came to Canada with hopes and dreams that life here would be better, if not for themselves and for their children. And my parents had four children and put all of their dreams onto us. And
yeah,
for the better and for the worse, because, you know, growing up and being the like, okay, I live as a Canadian when I'm at school or something. When I'm at home, we're in Africa. When I'm at school, try your best, you'll get your grades. When I'm at home, that wasn't an A+. All right, well, are you even my child?
Yeah.
So like living in that tension can create a lot of tensions, can create a lot of difficulties. Mm-hmm. And I feel for young children who are growing up in that struggle, because that struggle can follow you for a long time. Having the voice of everyone and telling yourself, I want to be proud of myself. I want my parents to be proud of me. I want my community to be proud of me. I want my teachers to see that I can be something. I don't want to live with the persecution, but I want to do well for myself. What kind of pressures is that for an 8-year-old in school, or for a 14-year-old in middle school, or for like an 18-year-old trying to figure out, do I go to university? Do I not? Do I follow my dreams? Do I listen to that voice of my parents that's saying no, 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 yes, yes, yes? It can make or break you. I feel for them. And I'm saying that because I struggled a lot trying to figure out how I could finally be satisfied in myself. And it took years. It took years. It took years. It's not something that happens in just a blink of an eye. It's definitely something that is difficult to struggle with, but also important to acknowledge, because if we talk about it, we'll realize that there's a lot of people who are having those difficulties, but also that being able to talk to other people about it will help us overcome.
Okay, like, do you think that pressure was productive for you, or had to reinvent yourself and think and rethink about it, or did that pressure help at all?
Okay, you know what, it's easy to be hard on the people who raised us because we weren't in their position, right? But I think that every generation will say their parents were hard on them. Their parents were hard on them because every generation wants to see the future generation succeed. So yeah. I will never dismiss what my family did for me. They gave everything that they had to see me become the woman that I am. However, when I became a woman for my own, when I stopped being a child, when I stopped being a teenager, and especially when I became an adult, it was important for me to be a functional person, to realize that my satisfaction, my well-being, my overall health, my overall sense of self could not come from the humans who created me. It had to come from something else. So what was helpful for me, and in full honesty, is I was able to have my own relationship with God and realize that I am enough. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, that I've been created to be who I am, and that I am well, just as I am. And it's one thing to read that on paper and to be like, so what does that actually mean? But to be able to meditate on that on the regular, and to be able to talk about some of the struggles that I face. So again, like I talked about small groups and things like that, being able to talk about those kind of challenges with real human beings and seeing like, hey, it's not just me. It's not just my inner dialogue that's saying all of these things. These experiences were true. Let me work through all of these. And also talking with a counselor, I've done that as well. And it's been very helpful in me being able to create a sense of self that I'm able to live with and that I'm now able to live with very well. So it's been a number of years to be able to help me become the woman that I am, in part because of my parents, but also in part because when I realized that I am a person apart from what my parents want for me, I realized that there was work to do, and that work couldn't be done by anyone but myself.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. You heard her, guys. You are the answer to all the questions.
So if I want to retake, like, you just say that the only thing that helped you go through all that pressures is like find your purpose that you are in today, I would say it's your purpose, because you're actually enjoying it.
Yeah, you're enjoying it. We can see the passion.
Yeah, you can see the passion in her. When she's talking about her job and everything around her is actually that job.
So I told you, I'm like passionate women.
So I would take it like the answer to your question, what is my purpose, is actually you found it into like meditation groups and with God.
Definitely following God has been a huge one, but also having community with people. Okay. Because I think that from all I've said is that I'm definitely not an island. I still have healthy and good relationships with the people around me, with my fiance, with my siblings, with my parents, with the girls in my small group, with the people I volunteer with my colleagues, with my friends. All of these people have had a huge role in helping me become who I am, but also in putting things into perspective. So, you know, it's very easy to say like meditating is going to fix all of your problems and things like that. And I wouldn't be able to say that that's my experience, because if I'm dwelling on my life, the negative is going to find its way in real quick. Like give it like 45 seconds and all of a sudden it's like, you know, I have to go to work tomorrow. I'm so stressed. I'm nervous. Am I going to be good enough? Like all of those thoughts, they happen to me too. But being able to put all of those things into perspective, saying like, hey, my experiences are more common than they're not. It's not like if humans go through experiences on their own, you know. If I'm new, then maybe there are other colleagues who have been new once upon a time as being a nurse, at being a professor, at being like a young woman living in America, all of those things. And what's helped me was the fact that I was taking that chance to be vulnerable with other people who were able to help me along my way.
Okay. I hope you guys understand what she's saying, because it's actually important. And also, I want to say you're going to be a mom tomorrow. You're going to be, how do you say, you're going to be like, yeah, you're going to be a mom. And you say you're a younger sister. Imagine one day your children is like, mom, we don't just like succeed in life with school and everything. I want to do something else.
You know what? I think my children are going to be the first guinea pigs of society. Black children doing what they want. And you know what? It's so much easier to say what you're going to be like, what you're going to do, what your plans are.
True.
In reality, I cannot tell you 100% what it's going to be like. I'm excited to become a mom. My fiance is excited to become a dad. He's ready. But yeah, you know, it's very easy to say like everything my parents did, I'm going to do it completely different. And I need to tell you with full honesty, I don't know. I really hope that I'm able to let them become their own people. But also, I'm aware that we also have a role to nurture them, to guide them, and to encourage them in the ways that we see best for them and that we hope are going to be ideal for them. But I can't guarantee that what I see as being best for them is going to be what they want for their lives. When they're little, when they're 2, 3, 4 years old, you have control. You can figure that out. It's like, no, your birthday party is going to be this theme or you're going to this school. But eventually they make decisions for themselves. And I pray that they're going to make decisions that are going to be good for them. I pray that I'm going to be someone that they're going to be comfortable turning to, saying that she'll provide me with wise counsel, she'll provide me with encouragement, she'll provide me with love, but she'll also let me be the person that I need to be. Because in the end, that's all that you can hope from an adult relationship. when they're young, you're their parents, you're very much a big authority in their lives, but eventually they become adults, and you hope that if you do your job right, that they'll still want to turn towards you rather than do it out of obligation or out of reports like, oh, I should probably tell my mom this. I hope that once we're adults, we'll be able to see like she was looking out for me for day one. Let me share with her. Let me share with her when they're 20, when they're 30, when they're 40, when they're 75. Imagine if I make it to having kids that are 75. That's good. So, yeah.
Okay, so I have a personal question, like for myself, and of maybe course. It can help other people listening. So I have, like, how do you deal with routine? Because I don't know if it's an issue or what, but I feel like the need to always do something new. I really don't do well with routine, and sometimes I don't know how to deal with that.
Okay, well, I'll tell you this, right? Like, you guys know a little bit about me now. So routine is kind of hit and miss with me. So for one, I work as an emergency nurse, so there's no such thing as routine.
As routine, yeah,
you know, like true. You come in, like you definitely need to be knowledgeable, competent, come in with some kind of like, I know that these are obligations, these are responsibilities, but routine, mm-hmm. like if you want to be set in your ways, you're going to be done real quick. So it's good to have routines, but it's also important to have some kind of flexibility. That way, when things change, when plans change, or sometimes it's not our fault, sometimes it really is our fault, we can still let it go because life goes on. But on that note too, when it comes to routines, there are some routines that I have, because on the flip side, I now work as a professor, and that's a Monday to Friday job. So when I started doing that, I realized, okay, there are only so many changes that I can manage at the same time. There are some priorities that are going to be key. I need to work because I need to get paid. So I can't not go to work. I need to figure that out. So for myself, I start my day at 8:30, and then I finish, you know, you never know exactly when you finish when you're working from home. It's a little bit of time mm-hmm. just disappears wherever it goes to. But I start at 8:30. And what helped me was making sure I have good sleep. It's not perfect. I'll tell you this. My sister is my witness. We live together, and sometimes she's there like, it's 2 a.m. You're still correcting students' assignments, and they do not care about your well-being. You need to go to bed. Okay, fine. I'll go to bed. But on a normal day, my routine is that I'm going to wake up at 5 a.m., go to the gym at 6 a.m., and then come back home for after 7 a.m. After 7 a.m. can look whatever. It's fine. Between 7 a.m. and 8:30 is my time. I can have coffee. I can read my Bible. I can take a nap. I can take a shower, whatever it looks like. That's my morning me time. 8:30, I'm on the computer, and I have a check-in with colleagues for accountability. It's been incredibly helpful, the best blessing of this whole pandemic, or else I'll be in pajamas until like noon. So do my check-in, and then probably between 8:35 and 8:45 start working, whatever it looks like depending on the responsibilities of that day. Have my lunch around noonish, or have a pandemic nap because you can nap when you're working from home nowadays, and then continue the afternoon 1 o'clock onwards, probably until 4:30, maybe until later, depending on what that looks like. But that's what that routine looks like a little bit for me. The evenings are all different. I don't have a full-on routine for each evening. I spend a lot of time with my siblings, especially my sister who I live with. My fiance and I try to spend some time together as well. whichever evenings work out for us as well. We're very flexible with that and with each other. Sometimes we want to have a date night. Sometimes we're tired. Sometimes we're just feeling some kind of way. Sometimes we just want to spend the whole day together and we're going to work from home at the same location. That's fine. Just letting it be what it looks like. That's okay. I do have a lot of activities with the church. So I have my small groups on the Monday nights. I love being able to meet up for the small groups. And usually that's around 7 p.m. So I'm usually very honest with the girls. Sometimes it's 7 p.m. I'm very excited and ready to go. Sometimes I'm exhausted. Just tell them what it is. And they usually are able to say like, hey, I had a hard week too. Oh, I'm ready. I have my coffee, et cetera. Everyone's got their stories, but come honestly. And then other people are able to be honest with you as well. And every week is a little bit like that. When I go to bed, I try to go to bed, start winding down around the 9 p.m. and then I'll read my Bible in the evening. So usually by 10 p.m. I'm very chill and relaxed. Hopefully I'm sleeping by 11 p.m. Never know exactly what time I'm sleeping at, but then repeat the next day. But you see that there's built-in flexibility. There's mm-hmm. a little bit of flexibility uh-huh. in the morning, a little bit of flexibility in the noon lunchtime, a little bit of flexibility in the after work time, and the evenings are all very different. So it's going to look very different for everybody. And I also am very cognizant that this season is what it looks like for me right now. It's going to change when I get married, whether I want it or not. You need to make space for a new person in your life. It's going to change likely when I become pregnant. Maybe I won't sleep that well. It's going to change when I become a mother. These kids wake up when they want. Oh my goodness. So, you know, just letting there be space for that and accepting what your key priorities are. So for myself, especially like, for example, if I get to midterms, because students might relate with that, how do I control anything when it's midterm? You have to choose what your priorities are. And at the end of semester, my priority is the sleep. So that means that around midterms or around finals, I don't go to the gym as regularly. That is okay. That means that instead of waking up at 5 a.m., I wake up at 8 a.m. That gives me an extra 3 hours of sleep if I want to. But that also sometimes means that there's a little bit more flexibility for the nights when I did an all-nighter or the nights when I was finding that I was having difficulty with X, Y, and Z. It's important to be gracious with ourselves. And if we're trying to implement a routine, starting a little bit at a time, not just saying like, I heard Wendy's routine, I'm going to try it all on January 3rd. No, just try one thing at a time. What time do you want to sleep at? Are you sleeping at a time that's wildly different? Maybe you're sleeping at midnight and you want to sleep at night, 9 p.m. So start small. Try to sleep at 11:30 for a week. Try to sleep at 11 for a week. Try to sleep at 10:30 for a week. Do things gradually so that we can be kind to our bodies and so that we can be less disappointed and less hard on ourselves too when things don't necessarily work out the way we want it. We need to be so gracious with ourselves.
Okay. Oh, that's a really good knowledge for the night.
Yeah.
Try it, my sis.
Don't be too hard on yourself.
No.
Yeah.
None of that.
Actually, that's a great thing to know because I'm really hard on me. I'm definitely hard on me.
And are we ever hard on other people as we are on ourselves? Like sometimes the self-talk we have is like, yo, would I ever say that to any human on earth? No. Let's stop that. Let's start with ourselves. Let's stop that. If it didn't work today, try tomorrow.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you think you are a good inspiration for your brothers and sisters?
Oh my goodness, I hope so. I think I'm mostly a nuisance, right? I'm the oldest. So they're just they're like, I've been listening to her for I don't know how many years, my whole life. Oh my goodness. But it is okay because I love them so much. I'm so proud of each and every single one of them. They're all so different. And you guys, like the words, I love them so much, is just not enough. I'm so enthralled by each of them. They're all so different. They all have their own trajectory. I saw them from when they were little. My sweet Kinja, when she was born, I had to share all my things with her. I didn't even get it. Turns out that I was born with a best friend. My little brother, it was like if we were given a baby. We were given someone to take care of, someone to love. Same with my little sister, Mimi. She is our baby right now. She's like, I'm 21 years old. I'm not.
I'm not a baby.
And, you know, like, I just, if they're just majestic to me. I love them so much. So honestly, like, they might think that I'm a nuisance and I'm not an inspiration. And all I have to say back to them is, I love you so much. I'm thankful you're in my life.
That's great.
Yeah, we're grateful to God.
Yes.
Actually living with a like really, really positive attitude, mind. And I really appreciate it. And it's actually good knowledge for each and everyone on this podcast today, because like she said, we are really hard on each and all. Like you're like, oh no, I don't have to be this, I don't have to sleep too much, because people that sleep a lot, they are lazy, or people that we are really like putting pressure on us. Like sometimes I sleep and I'm like, oh no, Judah, you need to wake up because you need to do something. I'm like, okay, let me just try to like give like a lot of time to myself also, and have like a self-care and a self like appreciation.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, no matter how hard you are on yourself, it's not going to solve the problem. Well, that's what I'm telling my spirit, but that's not what I'm practicing.
Another thing too, why do we live such full lives? You know,
I don't know,
because often we tell ourselves like, oh no, I can't rest. Sleep is for the lazy. Like I need to do more. But I need to do more what? More hanging out with people, more browsing on social media, more this and that. Like, no, we need to start simple. You need to sleep, you need to eat, and you need to have a place to live. So that means that like, you need to sleep, you need to eat, you need to go to work. Do those things. Find a healthy balance in those things, and then add more gradually, like kind of like with the routine. I'm going to see one family member this week. I'm going to see one friend this week. I'm going to add one social activity this week, and I'm going to do all of those things, finding my balance. And especially for people who are students right now, because like, hello, PhD, I've been a student for a long time. You need to be even more careful with yourself, because everything else, life, it can feel like if it's gonna pass us by, but like, you need to take care of yourself, your physical self, your mental self. And often the best results we're going to have with being satisfied with ourselves is being healthy and alive. We can't have lives where we're just scraping the surface, sleeping for 3-4 hours a week, not eating enough, not eating well, not having all of the essentials met. It's easier said than done, but if we start with the basics first and then add in gradually, instead of trying to see what can I subtract from myself, add in others later, but take care of yourself first. And through everything that you do, as you're trying to go to bed, as you're driving to work, as you're on the bus coming back, just pray that God will take care of you. It's not easy, but it's so important to not forget yourself in the midst of everything.
Yeah, that's really like really true. Yeah, because sometimes you're just running, like even like with the pandemic, sometimes we still find ourselves running after something. Like even if we're not taking the bus or we're not going out every day, you still like you running in your spirit.
Yeah. And with all of these meetings too, everyone's they're like, oh, let's have a meeting. It's like, but it's bedtime, you know. And so like, it's so important to be careful about like what our priorities are, right? Like, and again, like right now we're enjoying Christmas break, we're finding a new season for rest and things like that. But I remember when I was young, it was hard, like, and there was no pandemic. It was like, and also growing up with an African family, sometimes I'll tell myself like, okay, so I'm a student, I need to go to work also, I live with my family, so there's a lot of family time, there's very very little quiet time where I get to study. So I'm studying later than I want to, but I still need to get that done so that I can get good grades, so that this, so that that. And then all of a sudden there's a party. The party starts at 11 p.m. Should I go? Can I go? My parents won't let me go, but I want to go because I want to be cool. But like 8 p.m. is too late anyways. Like all those tensions that we work with. Be kind to yourself. Be so kind to yourself. What do you want to do? Where do you want to be? And as I grew older, I found that there were different ways. Like, okay, so if this girl is organizing a party at her house that starts at 11 p.m., that's past my bedtime and my parents don't want me to be out that late. How else can I have relationships? Maybe that means that I can have permission to go to her house from 8 to 9 p.m. and help her decorate and talk with her and drink tea with her as she's setting up, do her makeup and do my makeup together, get all dolled up, and then she'll have a good night, go to bed. Yeah. You can have her party. Your parents aren't angry at you. You can find a balance, but it's first being so kind to yourself and telling yourself you're not going to satisfy everyone. Who do you want to satisfy? And making sure that you take care of yourself first and then take care of the other things. The flip side might be very different. Like, I really want to go to that party. Okay, then you need a little bit of help and support coming up for the excuse, the justifications, etc. That means you don't do this on your own and get your parents angry and grounding you and things like that. That means you talk to someone who's older than you, who has been there, and who might provide you with wise counsel. So there are so many ways, but honestly, community is helpful. Let a sister help a sister out. If it's a brother, let a brother help a brother out. But we don't have to do this alone. There are so many ways.
Well, Sissy, do you have any other questions
She actually gave me all the answers to my question today. She actually
She's really, I told you, she always goes in details.
You have a lot of interesting people in your French, in your calendar, yeah. Contact list. I need to get in contact with you more so you can really see some of those.
You mean her or me?
I'm talking about you because you invited her. And actually, she's really interesting. I don't know if you have anything to say, but actually, she answered all my questions today.
Well, I just wanted to ask her, like, if she had to define success in one sentence, like, what would she say?
In one sentence, I'm going to have to keep it simple.
Yeah.
Success in one sentence, I'll say being satisfied with yourself. Okay. That's the short answer. It's going to look different for everyone, right? Because the world can look at Jeff Bezos, for example, and say, like, he's a successful man. And he's going to say, like, I need to do this, this, this. I think success starts from within. Being satisfied with yourself. We'll never come up with an exact number, an exact value, an exact, you've achieved this, being satisfied with yourself. And then at the end, God will tell us, it is finished, you've done well. Well done, my good and faithful servant. But start with being satisfied with yourself.
It's definitely hard.
We're gonna try, but it's hard
because like you just say, the human being is really like born to be unsatisfied with yourself, mm-hmm. with other people mm-hmm. around you. Like, you are really always searching for more.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I say, I will try. I will.
Girl, yeah, but I think it's there. Really the key. Yeah, I think it's really, I don't know if it's the key or a key to success, because I remember, like, I had a conversation with a friend, and he was telling me how he does a six-figure salary per year. And I was like, I don't know how the strength came from. And I was like, I didn't panic, you know. Because the way it was sounding a little bit too proud, you know, but I was like, I didn't react that badly to that at all. I was just like, okay, it's fine. I know I'll do my best to get where I want to go. It's not the end of the world, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, I didn't feel jealous at all. None of that. So I'm proud of myself for being that jealous. Yeah.
Well, I don't.
Yeah, I think. it starts with that. You really need to be happy with yourself and satisfied. It's not easy, but you have to try.
But when you start having kids, you start having like kids that have needs, you start having like, oh yeah, I need to put my kids into this level. I need to put my kids into that level. Like you trying to search for more. Not that you trying to be proud of the money that you have, but it's because like the life that you dream about, you need to like, you're trying to achieve it, and to achieve it, it asks for some sacrifices too. So for me, being satisfied of yourself, it will happen. I think for me, when I'm going to be in my village, not thinking about anything, just work up and eat, that's going to be the day I'm going to say, yeah, I'm done. I can go now.
Yeah, we're going to have to wait till we're like 95, man, because like as long as we're in this race right now, again, living in North America, you'll never have enough if you keep comparing yourself to other people. Yeah. You can be the richest person in the world. It's like, I sent my child to Montessori school and I have people that are tutoring my child Monday to Friday. They also have tennis on Saturday. They have piano on Sunday, but I'm not sure if my kid's going to get into Harvard. Okay, a few years comes, all of your kids are in Harvard, but all of them are suicidal. Who's winning right now? I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding at all. True. We need to be so careful. And the thing too is that we have a very ironic situation where we have a lot of privilege, but a lot of us will never see it. And even with our privilege, there's still struggle. I'm very thankful right now because in my position, I would be able to provide for at least myself and eventually a small family. And with the trajectory that I'm on, I'm going to have a two-parent family where we're both working to provide for that small family. There are some people who achieve great things as a single parent family. It may be that either mother, father, he, she, they, them left, or it could be that someone's widowed, but life goes on. It's not always going to be easy, but at some point you need to realize that the basics have been met and that it is okay for life to continue. Children are going to survive into adulthood. We're going to do our best to provide for them, but the children also have a role in what they want for their future too. And we tend to discount how much of an accomplishment that is. Having children who make it to the age of 18 is a huge accomplishment. That means that they lived through a number of years. That means that you were able to raise them to not die in a car crash, to this, to that. Like, there are so many tragedies that can happen along the way. At what point are we going to stop and say, I'm proud of me, I'm proud of you, I'm proud of us? At some point, we just need to let it happen. The world isn't going to tell you, you've reached the success award, you've made it. It's that, no, the world doesn't do that to us. We need to accept it and give ourselves our own pats on the back.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Professor Mwali, I am honored. It was a real honor to have you here. Do you have any other questions to see?
No, I don't. I'm really like proud of Africa.
Yeah, I think you, we might need you again when we talk about mental health. I think you have many tips, if I can say it like that. Like, you don't forcibly need to be a therapist or a psychologist, how say it?
Yeah,
there's so many mental health practitioners.
Mental health practitioners. But I think the fact that you are also in the health sector, like you know a little bit about it. And yeah, one day it would be a pleasure to have you back for that subject.
And thank you again.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Speaking with you was a really good even it's just like company and also knowledge for me too. Like every day, I think since I started this podcast, Dani, I am actually learning more. Like I'm actually doing it for me. I'm not doing it for people anymore.
Yeah.
Because I learn more than other people. So I would actually say thank you. And since Danielle don't have any other question, I think we're just gonna say goodbye to everyone. And also don't forget to subscribe on our different platform, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Radio Public. I don't know, Molly, do you have like social media that you want to share?
Oh my dear, no.
No?
Okay. Not having social media is my best mental health tool.
Okay, let's finish this. So don't forget to follow us on different platforms. And if you have any question for Miss Molly soon, it's Mrs. Now. She's gonna go there.
Mrs. To be. We wish you the best. Wish you the best. A blessed marriage. So,
if you have any questions for her about what she talked about today, you can just reach out to us and DM, and then we're gonna reach out back to her. And again, thank you a lot. It was really, really good journey with you today. And I hope you did appreciate it too. So have a good one, everyone. And again, we're still in January, so Happy New Year.
Thank you. Bye. See you next week. Bye.
Bye-bye.